playing. I'm just going to hang out over here for a second. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Broken Shovel Homesteading for a Sustainable Future. Date of recording is April 7th. Date of release is April 9th. My name is Lucas, and I'm joined, as always, by my friend Eric. Say hello, Eric.
Hello.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can reach out to us at brokenshovel802@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about how we plan to mitigate the impacts of climate change on our individual homesteads. I'd love to hear some ideas from people. You can email those to us or find us.
This off of the predicted extreme hurricane season.
Yeah. And Broken Shovel 802 in a search pretty much will bring you to us everywhere.
Reddit, because we have a Reddit page and we're trying to post on Reddit.
Yes, yes. Oh my God, I have to turn off the text messages on my computer. Okay, done. So we're talking today, we're just sort of talking about sort of spring in the homestead and where we're at and what's going on. It's kind of a light day because I've got a lot going on this weekend. And if you're not watching on YouTube, you should really check it out because I got a haircut. And I trimmed my beard all the way down, and I look very different than I did 2 weeks ago. So it's a very different Lucas on the screen today, feeling a little self-conscious about not having very much hair to protect me. But yeah, how are you today, Eric?
I'm still recovering from Thursday, both physically and mentally, because as I was telling Lucas before we started recording, was that the storm hit the network pretty hard.
April 5th.
April 5th snow storm. We got a foot of snow over.
I got 2 feet.
Yeah, I only got about a foot. I don't even know because it got so warm and melted and then it came back and it was weird. It was a lot of wet. It was a lot of wet, heavy snow. And they said there was about 65,000 customers at peak of without power. And we had a few outages across the network that I had to go address the day of during the snowstorm, had to go out to Hubs and deploy a generator to get power to it during a blizzard.
We didn't lose power until yesterday. I assume, something went wrong while they were doing repairs, but it was also a little breezy yesterday, but we just did nothing. I didn't even plow until Sunday, the next day, Saturday. I am so out of sorts on what day of the week it is. This has happened to me. So when I went out to run errands on Friday, I was like, I'm going to go see the market manager at Norwich. And I drove over to Norwich and was like, why is this building locked?
It's Friday. Yeah,
because it was Friday. And I think twice in our conversation before recording, I've said the wrong day of the week. So forgive me in advance.
The storm really took us for a loop. I mean, overall outages weren't that bad besides losing power to Braintree and having to I've got to come up with a solution for that ASAP. And it's unfortunately out of my hands.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yes.
How are you, where do you want to start? You want to talk about at home stuff, or you want to kind of talk about what the predictions are for spring for us this year?
I want to go with my note of it doesn't feel like spring. And of course it never does feel like spring until May in Vermont.
Yeah.
I know everyone's the warm March, February really spoiled people and made people confused.
Yeah.
It's no, spring's not here yet. It's not going to be here yet. It's still a ways off.
Yeah. No, we've got a little warming trend coming up this week, which will be nice. I can get out and start.
He's starting to bud.
Yeah. For me, a lot of it is, I have to start getting out and clearing deadfall and sort of miscellaneous trash that may have found its way out of a can because of a raccoon or something. Sorry, the dog wants to come in. there's snow sliding off the roof, and this is his safe space. So he is going to join the recording today. Hi, Dusty.
Yeah, I mean, even when the snow melts, I'm a swamp. I really, like, I can't do anything. Outside is just like, I can look at it and that's about it.
Yeah, my soil drains pretty well. Some of the sort of northeastern facing banks are very sandy and it drains pretty well, which is a really
I'm borderline wetland.
yes. And so we're planting more trees and stuff to this year, but in those areas they just do so well. There are like our American chestnuts that are on that side of the property are doing so well. It's bananas. But yeah, predictions for this spring are pretty wet. Yeah.
Yeah, very wet. Very above. Actually, for us, it's normal precipitation with above average temperatures is what NOAA says.
Okay. And that's, yeah. Those models are, they're suspect
They're
sometimes.
suspect. They're a the month one has us in average precipitation and above average temperature, and the 3 month one has us exactly the same.
Do you remember which models those were? Like, was one the Euro?
I can't recall, but I can quickly find
Yeah.
it.
The
Does that
Euro
mean?
model, every time I look at it, seems to be higher precipitation, even in the short term, than, or no, I'm sorry, lower precipitation in the short term. So I'm just curious.
June. It is the ba 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 ba. Fairly normal across mainly man weak signals above which model are they using? It's so confused. They never actually put on here like, hey, this is
Well,
the climate model we use.
doesn't matter. I'll just go watch Serena's TikToks and I'll get my
Right,
answers.
yes. But the other big thing is that the El Nino is going to be dwindling down over the next 3 months.
Yeah, that's really exciting, but also a little bit terrifying with the recent hurricane predictions.
Between the hurricane prediction and they're also immediately saying that like we aren't going to have a gap between El Nino and La Nina. Like it is La Nina is going to fire up sometime between June and August.
And what El Nino did for hurricane season last year was provide that wind shear that kept storms from becoming very dangerous and becoming, making landfall in most cases.
Yes, a lot of the bigger storms did stay out. We did have get a few hits down in Florida, but we overall had a pretty it was a lot of named storms, but not a lot of them made landfall, or when they did, they came across land at a much more diminished scale.
Right.
Whereas this
Yes.
year, we are seeing extreme spikes in ocean surface water temperature. And they are predicting, and this is right across from in the equator tropics belt, which is where all the lovely hurricanes like to build.
Right. So it should be interesting. And of course, with increased number of storms, warm water, warm surface temperatures, La Nina, which is very different from El Nino, and it makes me nervous for something like an Irene. And it's really it was interesting, slightly on topic. I was, my town delayed their town meeting until this weekend, and I was at the informational meeting for a few hours yesterday. And they were talking. We have one road here in town that completely washed out in the two big storms that we had.
Yeah, the June July
Yeah.
storms that we had that was yeah the July
So,
was the June 13th storm, I believe. No, July
yeah.
13th.
So
I can't remember.
it fell apart in the first storm. And then was massively worsened, whatever, 2 or 3 weeks later, by an even worse storm. And I guess it happened in Irene, and now the town is really having to make decisions about what they're going to do. It's still in disrepair. It's
So, as someone who lived through Irene, the problem was, and I've said it loudly to people, that I am concerned because some towns had the money to properly rebuild their culverts, their ditches, and etc. to handle this increased amount volume of rain events we were having. And whereas other towns that do not have as much money were able only to do the basic mitigation possible to fix the damage from Irene, but not in turn do the major upgrades and changes to culverts and ditches that would allow for more the water to flow away from the roads easier.
Well, and this is a particularly interesting situation. I think, we're going to see more, of the nightmare of bureaucracy when it comes to these storms, and their increased frequency. These two separate storms, one of them, can receive funding from the state. One of them can receive funding from the federal government, which is to
Oh,
say
yeah.
FEMA.
Oh.
So they're
Oh.
having to like negotiate and figure out how to do the best thing for the town and the road and the residents on that road. But also, it's a town of 683 people, and the pool of people that are available to work on these things is very small. We have a wonderful administrative assistant. We have a new foreman for the road crew, but it's there's just this, and then you've got the select board, which is going to have a new member this year, and all of that. And it's so overly complicated that the road has been closed since
Yeah.
last summer.
And there's, I mean, this has always been a problem with the state when it comes to negotiating state and federal funds. Over in Stratford on 130, between Stratford and Thetford on 132, they had the Superfund site funded to repave 132. Stratford was able to do its half very quickly because they did, I can't remember exactly how they did it, but then Thetford couldn't get it done for the longest time because they were because they I guess it was what is that because the towns had to negotiate with each other to how to divvy up the funds, Stratford just went ahead and did it and said, "Hey, we'll get this money back later," whereas Thetford said, "We can't do that."
Yeah, because they didn't have the they needed the money up front, and these grants and bonds and all of these things take a lot of time. I learned a lot yesterday.
Yes, it's a scary concept because the other thing towns are doing, and this happened a lot out of Irene, and it's you're going to see it happening more this year, is them deciding to abandon roads. And not, I say abandon, but they're not really abandoning it. They're just reclassifying them to Class 4, and it basically just be like, nope, that's Class 4 now. We know, touchy touchy.
Yeah, currently this road is a Class 3, which means that the town is responsible for its maintenance. And I even learned that there was an emergency there. There's an elderly couple that lives on that road, and there was an emergency, and it took like three different organizations to get the person who needed to get to the hospital out of there, because it was also during that peak bit of mud season that we had going. So it was just, which is not in itself cost effective, and and added danger to that person's life. It's very upsetting, that this bureaucracy, and I think we're going to see more and more of the bureaucracy finding its way into recovery from
Yeah, I mean,
climate
well,
change
and
events.
look what's happening both in Florida and California right now. We are getting numerous reports of insurance companies just straight up pulling out of the states. And like, what is it? Nantucket is having a crisis right now because number one, none of their houses can be insured, and number two, they're about to be washed away into the ocean. I mean, what they spent, what, $3 million bringing in sand to rebuild the sand bar, but they didn't
It
plant any plants on it,
was gone in
and then it
less than 3
watched the one
weeks.
storm. Yeah, 3 weeks it was gone.
Yeah, fucking fantastic. Excuse
Yep.
me.
Yeah, unfortunately, when bad things happen to rich people, we are, yeah, it sucks to be them. Too bad, so sad. They're rich.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the same time, there are low income people like in Florida, as much as we kind of rag on Florida for being Florida, there are people down there that are going to suffer because of these insurance companies pulling out. Home value prices are already going down. I mean, big thing is a lot of mortgage companies won't give you a mortgage if you cannot insure it. So the only people able to buy down there and also in California
Cash
are people with
buyers.
cash buyers, and that's it.
Yep. Yeah, and that's sort of adding to the housing crisis, which isn't really a thing we a topic we cover here, but it's a reality when it relates to climate change, and we have talked in the past about climate refugees, and
And
a lot of people
we've been identified as a climate
climate haven.
haven.
Yeah, Haven. Yeah. It's which is even more scary,
Mean,
you know,
most of New
because
England has been, and I mean, my hope is that we just like people decide like America sucks and just go the rest of the way and go up to Canada.
yeah. You know, it's funny, like we were looking at like, oh, what if we moved to Norway? I think it was Norway. We were yeah, it was Norway because we had just watched that hilarious There's Something in the Barn. I don't know if you've seen that,
I have
but
not seen
it's
that, but I've heard of it.
you have to watch it. It is hilarious. And I started looking into like, what do we do? How do you get to move to Norway? And basically, the laws are set up that like it is so hard for an American to move to Norway. Like you basically have to be like related to somebody and inherit a house. You have to have a job. You have to have like
A job
it
of a
is.
certain, you have to make a certain amount at that
Yeah,
job too. Like
it
there's a
was
salary
so complicated.
requirement, and a lot of European nations have that, which is why, like when we talk about like America's immigration policy, it's like we really do have a very, 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 very lenient immigration policy in this country compared to others. And it's fine. It's so funny when Europe gives us crap about not taking immigrants when it's like you're a bunch of hardline assholes over here. I'm like, so damn it, damn it. Thank you,
Well,
cortisol.
and not to get too much off the topic, but so much of our, so much of our economy is reliant on immigrants and even, temporarily that, most of what you're reading and seeing is BS. And,
Well, it's like
but
the guy that posted the video, the TikTok of him like going 3 mi like a half a mile past Eagle Pass, and there is an open gate at the border with nobody manning it. And it's like, no, this is all just political grandstanding, and it's a hot
everyone's
button
out.
election year issue. Of course, it's
Yep.
back and forth with him. He's always back and forth. But we're way off, we're getting off the rails because it's
Yeah, we were
back
talking
to
about
spring.
climate refugees here, but
Yes.
that's just a reality in our world now.
Yes. But yeah, there's the
What else you got?
spring weather. And then yeah, do I do my three P's? I gotta
Yeah, and I
get
want to
proud.
talk about your as we get into the talking about our own homesteads here, and we're going to be talking more and more about this stuff. Like I said at the start of the show, next week we're going to be talking about mitigation for weather events and climate change on our individual homesteads. And obviously if you want to reach out, please do. Yes, so your three P's, but also your principle of threes. I would like you to elaborate on that again.
I like threes because
Yes.
it's I'm a programmer. I like I like my threes, and like they make it nice, and especially when I can make like all three have the same letters. It's like, yay.
Oh no, I meant like your one-third planting method.
Oh, my one third, like oh
Yeah.
my, yeah, because I'm
So
always
do your P's, but please talk about the one-third. I'm sorry,
yeah
I misspoke.
plan, prep, patience. This is
Yeah.
like it's all about spring because you spend most of your spring planning, prepping and then being patient for in this in for Memorial Day. Like I cannot, I keep saying it. I cannot reiterate it enough. Memorial Day is the start. Like you do not plant before then, unless you are.
You should get a tattoo. It says "Do not plant before Memorial Day." Yes. Just get a tattoo down your arm or something. Yeah. So planning, obviously we do it all winter because it's part of the daydreaming too, right? You're trapped inside and you're looking through seed catalogs and you're planning. And, you know, for me, it's, you know, we're drawing sketches. We're talking about like, oh, the cat pooped over there a lot last year, so let's not plant anything there kind of stuff. And, you know, planning for expansion and trying new things and stuff like that. Is there more to that that you really, I mean, planning and making sure you have the equipment?
Yeah, I mean, basically, plan out projects, plan out the garden, and both income sources or reusing sources to get what you need to make your projects a reality. Because both of us are also very much doing these on our homesteads on budgets.
Yes, very tight budgets.
So both of our greenhouse ideas are to use recycled house windows.
Yep. And, you know, and I do want to talk about equipment because equipment does wear out. And, you know, even, you know, that when you're talking about being on a budget, your instinct is always to buy less expensive. And that is always not the best decision. If you are, you know, let's just say a hose sprayer alone, if you spend decent money on a hose sprayer, it will last you years, especially if you like put it away and you don't leave it under 3 feet of snow all winter. But you know, planning your equipment and planning your purchases is really, really important. You and I both sort of struck when the iron was hot for our weeding tool, which was like, is probably one of the best tools that we, either of us owns for hand tools. And it was at a significant discount and we just sort of like, grab it. So I
always like to use the Sam Vines boot theory of anomic unfairness of that the poor man will over, the poor man will buy over the lifetime will buy 10 $5 pairs of boots over so many years, whereas the rich man will buy one $60 pair of boots that'll last him 10 years.
Right. It's kind of funny. Like I wasn't talking about that specifically, and I'm familiar with it. But this morning we were out for our morning walk, and you know I'm wearing my winter hikers. I've got 3 pairs of boots. I've got my spring, summer hikers, and then my fall, winter hikers, which are insulated. And then I have a third pair, which is just work boots. They're Wolverines, but they're very uncomfortable. So I was like, I have to remember to buy good insoles for these this year so that I don't wear out the other boots, you know. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm a rich man or whatever, but, you know, thinking about your tools. And if you think about your tools, it's going to last longer. So it's just planning. It's just planning.
Yep.
So, and growing up very poor helps too. When you finally, you know, or it can hinder, you know, you just like, oh, just buy the cheap stuff because you don't have you're not used to having money. But when you do have the money to invest in something, you should invest in a good tool.
Research.
Yeah. Plan. And then, so I think that's, oh my God, this dog is driving me crazy. He's at the door again. Prepping.
Leave the door open. So prepping is like, we both jumped the gun a little bit with our prep work this year because it was a really warm March. It was hard to be like, I'm just going to start growing stuff. Or like the guy I got my chicks from who was just like, we had the warm February, so he's like, I just decided to start chicks now. And it's like, which is not normal. Like me, I'm going to have my chicks fully grown and out like months before anybody else does just because I got my chicks so early.
Yeah, I'm not getting mine for 4 or 5 days. And
Whereas
then it's 4 to 6 weeks before they move out.
And it was, yeah, and that's even, and yeah, and then it's even then you like you still have to, like, because you're supposed to give them starter mix until their first lay, and that could be anywhere from 12 to 16 or more weeks, because you don't want to start them too early with that either.
Right. We talked about that last week a little bit. And then like about a month later, right in between that 4 to 6 week timeline, we've got our ducks showing up. So now it's like we have to plan and prep for that as well. But yeah.
So like as of like next week, my chicks will be 2 months, or next Sunday, my chicks will be 2 months old.
Okay, have they moved out yet? I'm not hearing them today.
No, they're down in the basement. They're actually directly
Oh,
underneath.
right, you told me. Yeah, you told me you moved them downstairs. I forgot.
Yes, I moved them downstairs. It's still a little like little still a little cool for them outside. That's the other problem with getting them so early is that you have to wait to put them outside. And if you do, you have to put them somewhere where they can't really get out because they will get cold easily and die.
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's tough.
So yes, they're currently in my basement, and it's going to be really fun. Come, because I'm going to leave them down there for another month. Like that's just like no, they're down there, they're good.
Yeah.
In a month, I will, because in a month is when I'm really going to be able to. Hopefully, things will have dried out enough that I can actually like really think about the new coop and rebuilding it and getting everything ready for that. And then yeah, have them potentially mid-May go outside, and they won't even get integrated into the main flock at that point. They'll just be adjacent to the main flock while the flock gets used to the scent, even though the new flock is going to be bigger than the old flock and they're going to quickly take over.
And the third P is, I forgot already.
Patience, patience, patience.
Yes. Yeah, everything, well, and yeah, everything moves so slowly here.
Well,
No
it
matter how
moves
hard you try.
slowly right up until Memorial Day, and then it's just like shaboo.
Yeah,
And then all of a sudden it's September and you're like, where did summer go?
yep. Oh gosh, and you got me thinking about planning, and now I'm looking at Craigslist.
I know. I've been actually hitting Craigslist just randomly, like, hey, maybe I can find like a dirt cheap, not that I'm going to, like an old beat up tractor that I can work on or something. Not that I want to, but I just keep looking at random stuff, being like, I wonder if I can find X on there just to look around.
Yeah, well, there is a John Deere 318 with a tiller and a deck for $3,200.
Yeah, that's out of
But that's
my,
all.
that's very far out of my budget.
It's all the way in Hyde Park. So this was great. You talked about this last year. You sort of introduced me to the concept. I never really thought about it with numbers, but your one-third principles.
Yes.
This is something you learned from a weed farmer, you said.
Yes. Yep. One third of you have you plan you grow with planning to lose to only being able to harvest 30% of your crop. Because you will lose 30% to Mother Nature and 30% to wildlife or bugs or pests or mold or something.
Rain or smoke or
Yeah, so like yeah, they separated out like animals and pests from like weather events. That's why I was like 60%, 60%, but yeah, 30 for weather, 30 for wildlife, being whatever kind of wildlife it is.
Yeah, so I've got 50 pepper plants right now.
One, two, three, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 12.
12. You can, and we talk about this all the time. Very different focuses
Yes.
with our homestead. Eric
I
is
gotta say, because
primarily growing for himself.
yes. And like, I'm also looking at it because, like, not one of the tomatoes I have planted are a red tomato.
Right, yes, your tomato salsas of a certain color.
Yes. It's gonna be great. I'm looking forward to my experimenting with it, and like, Yeah, just I have to find a good local source on good garlic, which I can't wait for the farmers markets to really get going when I can go in and be like, dollar heads of garlic, yay!
Well, and one thing to think about, the first 6 weeks of the Verscher Artisan Farmers Market, starting 5/19, for the first 6 weeks, I've got somebody selling plant starts.
Nice. Nice.
I know them pretty well. They're on the board of directors with me in Chelsea, and they're quality plants. And Louise is just an awesome person on
Okay.
top of
Thinking of starters, have you seen, like, are you on any of the Vermont cannabis subreddits?
I think I'm on Vermontawana.
Yeah, have you seen the uptick of posts of people being like, where can I get clones? Where can I get starters? Where can I get clones? Where can I get starters?
No.
Like, I've seen so many. I'm just like, go to the grow shops, go to the dispensaries, because
Yeah.
guess what? They have them. So this is also going out to our listeners. Like, if you are in Vermont, the dispensaries have plants.
Yes. I still haven't been to a dispensary in Vermont, but I don't consume as much, so
Yes. You also grow, you grew a lot more and didn't lose any of your crop, or
I
very
lost a
little.
little bit to mildew last
You
year. I
what?
definitely
Compare
did.
the size. I saw the size of your plants. You lost a little bit to mildew off of plants that were huge.
I say? We're passionate planting people.
Yes, and I like going. Like, I'm actually going to be going to the dispensary today because I have to get geared up for my trip to Maine, which is ironic because why are you eating a Milky Way right now?
It's 11 o'clock in the morning.
But yeah, I'm
Okay.
going. I have to get up, which is also ironic because I'm going up to Maine, where it is also legal and they don't have as high a THC cap.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yes, I'm actually probably going to get some gummies when I'm up there because I can get them, and they none of that stupid 100 milligrams per jar bull crap.
Well, let's. I hate to do it because this is a really fun conversation. But let's kind of talk about where we're at now and on the homestead, and then I gotta go. I gotta go to get elected.
Yeah,
So
get elected to select board, and yeah, fun.
no, not select board of
Oh yeah, oh
listers.
Lister, right.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not. I mean, I am putting a target on my back, but
Not
not
that big.
anything with not that big, and for that much less money. What have you got going on? Like I said, I've got 50 pepper plants. I think we've got 400 plants started right now. Megan has been working her ass off, getting stuff ready for the markets. With the natural dyed fabrics and making bags and stuff. I don't know if I've shown you these bags, but they're really. Really something else.
You showed me some
And
pictures of the, I believe, the template or the when you were
the
still
idea.
working, figuring out the design and stuff.
Yeah, we've got a good variety of them. We've got foraging bags. We've got other ones that she's calling like knitting bags that'll hold like some yarn and some needles and stuff like
Nice.
that. And very beautiful. A lot of them dyed with like rhubarb, which is really just a gorgeous color when combined with certain mordants. It's just, and I'm working my ass. It's a swearing episode, apparently. I don't think
Yes.
ass really counts, but I've been working a lot on the Verscher Artisan Farmers Market, which starts May 19th, and sort of getting ready for that, filling out a lot of paperwork, which is so boring. But I'm really excited to be doing this. And once it's sort of behind and all the hard work is done, it's done. We just refile the same paperwork every year. So it's just a one-time thing, but it's really exhausting. And then, yeah, like I said, once the snow melts, I'm just going to be out clearing the property, sort of looking around at trees for you. And sort of tagging those. Oh, and I was going to ask you, when we do that tree day, I've got to cut down like 30 to 40 pine trees out in that backfield. Nothing really massive, but I was wondering if you would be willing to help with that as well.
Yeah, I can bring
When
up
we're,
the little electric chainsaw.
yeah, you know, and I'll, you know, a lot of them I can get through with a handsaw, too, but it, you know, many hands, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, when you have that many, yes, many hands. I keep thinking about it because I have a small pine grove out in my woods that I can't stand because nothing else grows there.
Right.
And I just
Yeah, and
like.
that's what I was just going to say. Like, the reason I'm cutting them down, and I know I'm always talking about planting trees, but you have to cull things that are going to impede the growth of other plants.
Yeah, I actually had a funny disagreement with the. I didn't actually bring up the disagreement, but I did not correct the bot like Tom the like a few weeks ago. I was having a meeting with him, and he's talking about how, oh yeah, it's that we're growing, we're our softwood forests are becoming old growth, and it's just like,
No, they're
no,
not. No,
no,
they're
they're
not.
not. They're softwoods shifting to hardwoods, but we need another 100 years for them to start even being coming close to being old growth again. It's like, no, we are seeing the culling of the softwoods, the pines and such, and then being replaced by more maples, more oaks, more blah blah blah. What's the other one you see a lot of?
What, the ash or
Little ash, yes, ash. I mean, just like
hemlock? Hemlock's coming back, right? Didn't
hemlock's
we talk
coming
about that a
back.
few weeks ago?
Yep, I've been seeing willow lately. And
Okay.
willow's a softer wood, but is also it's a hardwood too. It's a weird one.
Like birch.
Yes,
You know.
because willows get huge too. I would
Yes.
love to do a weeping willow on my property, but that's the same. And I have the moisture content to have one grow well.
You know, you should look at East Hill Tree Farm, because you know I'll be going out there to pick up my order in the next few weeks, and I can pick your tree up no problem.
Yes.
You know, save you the drive. But yeah, they've got really good prices, and I have never had a problem with a tree from them. And we have bought everything from fruit trees to the hybrid American chestnuts, doing sugar maples this year, a bunch of birch. We've also gotten a few bur oaks from them as well. So,
I had a tail in my camera.
yes, you did. And yeah, I think I said earlier, like 5 days, we're getting 11 chickens. So it will there will be some background noise in next week's episode as I share space with the brooder in the office.
Yeah, I don't think you would hear it, but my rooster is currently being very angry out in my driveway right now.
Oh yeah.
Yes, he's very what? Oh, he's over there. Yeah, I have very angry chick. My fully grown chickens are very angry at me right now because I can't control the weather and they can't go anywhere. So they're very angry because they were like walking around everywhere and had spots that they like to go to in the yard, and now they can't get anywhere because they're big babies and won't walk in the snow.
Do you have any scrap wood laying around, like pine boards, like kind of wider boards?
I got some.
Because you could just throw those on the ground before the storm and then just flip them over, and they're not only is it, they're going to have like a space, but there's going to be like a ton of bugs under there too.
Oh yeah,
So
I never
it's
thought about that. But I also like I don't like I like it when they can keep them in the coop area because I don't
right.
want them wandering too far and getting.
And I highly recommend the board thing, just you know, all spring, summer, and fall too, because you just flip it over. There's a very, very protein heavy breakfast for them. So, but yeah, what else? You got anything else going on?
No, I mean, I'm probably going to start. I'm probably on my adventure today. I'm going to probably swing by Dandelion Acres and get some peat, the stupid little peat pots or
Oh yeah.
the dispose the disintegrate the pots that I can put directly in the ground because they disintegrate. And
Yes.
yeah, probably and may get some dirt so I can start planting some more stuff and trans. I got to transplant my tomatoes and my peppers from the little starter pods that they're in into something bigger because they're ready. And then I got a Brita filter and I've been doing so I've been filtering my water and feeding it to them because I feel like the hardness of my water affects my growth. So I'm trying some experiments with that.
We're very hopeful because we've started a lot of we started a lot of cold hardy things, all of our brassicas and things like that. So we're actually very hopeful that if we pay attention, we'll be able to start our get our cabbages and kales and stuff out sooner rather than later, and just sort of cover them and stay on top of it, which shouldn't be too hard since I even after the election, I won't be out of the house that much. So should be doable. But yeah, if you don't mind, just because I need to eat lunch and go be social for 4 hours, do you mind wrapping up? Where are we at? Did we miss anything?
Nope, I think we got everything. I mean, yeah, we got everything. We're talking about what's going on in our homesteads. We talked about spring. Went off the rails a few times. Yelled about Europeans.
All right, got your checklist. And next week we're going to be talking about mitigating the impacts of weather events and climate change on a homestead or a farm, and we'll sort of look outward, obviously, and talk about farming as a whole. I don't worry so much about the urban areas because what are you going to do? It's already structured, but we'll dig into that next week. You can email us at brokenshovel802@gmail. Find us on Reddit, / brokenshovel802.
Yes.
Yep. And that's it. That's where we're at. You come on out and tell us what you think. Bye.
Later.
Oh, I almost said.